morning. Turn to Matthew chapter 2. We'll be in verses 1 through 12 this morning. Now, you probably remember last week we looked in Isaiah chapter 7 and in Matthew chapter 1, and the sermon was about a contrast between Ahaz, King Ahaz from Isaiah, and then Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, and dealing with responses of faith and responses of non-faith. And today, we're going to have another contrast, and it's going to involve King Herod and then the wise men. And we're going to look at what it means to be a sincere worshiper of God or a sincere follower of God versus an insincere follower of God. And when we take a look at the text this morning, we need to pay attention to Herod and to the wise men and to see how they approach God and the kind of faith that they have and how it leads them forward, at least in the case of the wise men, to be followers of God, to be people who search out Jesus, and to be people who hear the voice of God or see the things of God, and that's what they make most important for them. Versus someone like Herod, who we're going to find out through a simple reading of this passage, was very manipulative and was not somebody who had any interest in God, even though he put himself out there as being someone who was interested in God. So Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for this passage of scripture that we have and the opportunity that we have to look at two more examples of people who had the ability to live by faith, but God, we see only in one case where faith was the thing that was lived by. And I pray, God, as we think about this passage this morning, that you will help us to examine our own lives and to see in our own lives whether we truly live by faith, whether we approach you with sincerity, or Father, maybe whether or not we approach you with insincerity. And God, if we find out that it's insincerity that we approach you with, I pray that you would reveal that to us and lead us to repentance so that we can get rid of insincerity and anything else that stands in the way of us coming to you. And Father, if indeed we were those who follow you with pure sincerity, I pray that you would encourage us, strengthen us, and continue to keep us strong as we walk on that path and this journey of life towards you. We thank you, God, for all that you've done for us. We thank you for Jesus. We're thankful for this sacrifice that he made on our behalf. And we just ask, God, that you would help us to keep that sacrifice central to our lives, and that every day we'd seek to follow you in closer and closer ways. We thank you for Jesus, and we pray in his name. Amen. It's our actions and not our intentions that demonstrate whether we're sincere or insincere as we follow God. We can think all day long about wanting to do something for God, about wanting to be faithful, about about desiring to do good things, about desiring to know more about the Word or wanting to pray more, or whatever the case may be. But if we stop at the level of intention and we don't put action behind it, we're not ever going to get the sincerity that we need to follow through. And I think that's the biggest challenge for most of us. I know it's probably the biggest challenge for me. Because when I stop and think about my own faith and my own Christian walk and my own life, I know what it is that I need to do, and yet I don't always find myself doing what it is that I know I need to do. And that's because I fail to put action behind my intention. Maybe you understand what I'm talking about because you've experienced the same thing. You know what it is that God calls you to do, and you know what it is that you need to do as you follow Him. But then the busyness of life comes up, and you leave the house, and you're surrounded by other people who don't have the same goals that you have, the same ideas that you have, the same values that you have, and it becomes a struggle to maintain that focus. And so what we want to think about this morning is how we can bring that back into focus for us, how we can keep that vision in front of us, that we want to be people of action who do the things that God wants us to do. I think this is probably particularly appropriate for us to think about as we approach a new year. You know, a lot of us, when we come into the new year, we at least think in terms of resolutions or goals for the new year. Whether or not we get serious about that, sometimes people will write out a whole series of goals that they try to chart their progress through on throughout the year. Sometimes people just have a loose idea that they want to be a better person, or they want to accomplish this or that thing in the new year. But what if we as a church went into the new year, into 2015, with the goal of growing in our faith and being people of action and being Christians and a church that makes sure that we're doing the things of God, not just thinking about the things of God, not just planning the things of God, but actually doing them? Because there's a difference when we think about that. Because we can be a church of good intentions, and maybe at the end of 2015 find out that we weren't as pleasing to God as we thought we were. And it's not that we would set out to be displeasing to God, but it's that we would not do the things that God wants us to do because we didn't approach it with the seriousness that God calls us to. We were focused more on intention rather than action. And so let's kind of bring that perspective to our reading of Matthew chapter 2 this morning. And let's think about Herod, who we're going to find was very, very insincere in his faith, and the wise men or the magi who were very, very sincere in their faith. And let's resolve as we go through this to be people who are more like the wise men, who resolve to follow God, who do the things that God calls them to do with obedience. They don't waver from the path that God has called them to walk. And we can draw inspiration and courage, and we can learn about faith by looking at their example. And then we can turn back to Herod, and we can take a long, hard look at him, and we can find out the things that we need to stay away from. But we might also find in looking at Herod that maybe we find ourselves guilty of some of those things. And if that's the case, I don't want us to feel guilty about that this morning, but simply to make a resolution, a resolve to change, to become sincere in our faith. If we find this morning in any of our lives insincerity, just let it go and resolve to be sincere in your faith. Here's the number one thing I think that we find when we look at King Herod in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Insincere followers of God use people, and they use the Bible for their own purposes. Ultimately, that's what Herod did. The people that he associated with in a religious way were there to serve him, to boost him, and to build him up. He used people, and he used the Bible to benefit himself. And so we find, for example, in chapter 2, verse 3, that he was disturbed and bothered by sincere followers of God. In verses 1 and 2, the Magi show up. He doesn't know anything about them other than they've come from the east. They've come a distance. They're following a star that appeared to them. They're searching out a king. And they come to Herod, and they're asking about that, and they want to worship this king. And Herod, of course, is a little bothered by this because he thought he was the king. And why aren't they coming to worship him? They're looking for another king. And so rather than listening to the message that they have and the way that they're following God, and then trying to figure out what he can learn from that about his own faith in God, the problem with him being that he doesn't have any, he's disturbed, according to verse 3. He's bothered by this. He's bothered by the sincerity of the wise men who come in without any other agenda than following that star that God placed in their path that was going to lead them to the king. And then Herod, continuing on in his insincerity, uses the Bible to benefit himself. And he tries to look spiritual, and he tries to look religious in all of this, but in verses 4 and 5 of chapter 2, we see that he calls together all the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and he asks where the Christ was to be born. Then they give him an answer. And they tell him, in Bethlehem in Judea, because this is what was written about in prophecy. This is what the prophet says. But we know that Herod's interest was not in finding this king for himself. He either didn't want this king to be found, or he was going to eliminate this king. We know what he did later when he found out that he had been tricked. He sent out and had all the boys of a particular age and younger killed because he didn't want any competition. He didn't care what the Bible taught about this. He wanted to know what the Bible taught about this so he could spin it and manipulate it and use it to benefit himself. And so Herod is disturbed by the sincerity of the wise men. He is using the Bible to benefit himself, and then he's going to actually try to use the wise men to benefit himself as well. In verses 7 and 8, Herod calls the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship." He lied outright. He lied outright to the wise men. He sent them out on this mission to go out and find the king, come back and report to him, claiming that he wanted to go and worship the king. We know that he just wanted to get rid of the king so that he didn't have any competition. When we look at Herod, we find probably the worst examples of this, but we find nonetheless that people who are insincere in their faith are more concerned about themselves. They're more concerned about how others can benefit them, and they use people, and they use the scriptures, they use the Bible itself to benefit themselves. In contrast is the example of the wise men. And what we find out from them is that sincere followers of God are simply focused on God himself. They're focused on Jesus and on the worship of God. That's all they want. And what they learn from their worship, or what they learn from following Jesus, is what they do. They don't need gimmicks. They don't need all manner of whatever the case may be. All they want is to follow God as God reveals it to them. And that's what they do. And so we see the wise men first in verses 1 through 2 of chapter 2, showing that sincere followers of God are always searching for Jesus, always looking for Jesus, always following the way that Jesus is in front of them. These guys coming from the east are not Jews. They have no reason to be looking for Jesus other than they know something about God and they want to follow how God is leading them. And so Matthew says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." They saw the star, and they followed the star with one goal and one goal only. They wanted to worship the king. And that's all they did. They left their homeland. They went on a journey. They followed the only thing that God put in front of them as a sign to lead them. And they kept that one goal front and center to everything they did. They wanted to worship the king. And in their sincerity, they simply followed that sign as they search for Jesus. Sincere followers of God also follow the guidance that they receive from God. If we drop down to chapter 2, verse 9, after the wise men had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was, and they continued following. Once they got close, they didn't figure out that maybe they could find a better way. They didn't go through the process of thinking that maybe they could streamline this, or maybe they could pinpoint it a little better themselves than what a star would. They remained focused on and committed to following God as God revealed himself to them. That's all that mattered. And if we think about our own lives and our own faith and our own following of God, we realize all that matters is that we follow God. We don't let anything else get in the way, whatever that may be. For Herod, it was his own power. It was his own ego. For us, it might be whatever. It might be tradition. It might be what other people think. Whatever the case may be. But if we want to follow God with sincerity, we have to let all of that go and stay focused on God and on God himself. Another example from chapter 2, verse 9 there is that the wise men, they followed God's lead. They followed God's lead. They didn't create a path for themselves. They didn't chart their own course. They didn't figure out that they can go and find a king. God showed it to them, and they followed God's lead. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to go to Scripture and see the things that God is calling us to in his word and say, that's good enough? If he wants me to grow in this area, then I'm going to do that. If he's revealing sin in this area, then I'm going to let it go. And I'm going to repent and ask for forgiveness. If he wants me to serve in this capacity, then I'm going to do it. Because that's what God wants, and I'm going to serve him. And I'm going to follow his lead. And then finally, what we see with the wise men is that sincere followers of God worship God, and they let that be enough. In verse 11, they came to the house, they saw the child with Mary, they bowed down and worshipped him. And they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. They didn't get anything in return. They came on a long journey with gifts for the king, and when they followed God's lead, and they finally found that king, they worshipped him, and they gave their gifts. And they didn't sit and wait for them to have something given back to them. And they didn't sit and wait to receive some kind of blessings. They followed God's lead, they worshipped him, and that was good enough. That's all they needed. I wonder this morning if we might be able to examine our own lives and see that maybe we're more like one of these things or the other. Maybe we find ourselves right in the middle. We want to be more like the wise men, so we're going to think about our own sincerity and our own faith as we try to follow God. Are we listening for his voice? Are we following his lead? Are we taking guidance from the Bible? Are we putting action behind our intentions? Maybe some of us here, sadly, find ourselves more like Herod. My encouragement this morning is to simply resolve to change that. Don't be so focused on yourself that you overlook the worship of God. Do not use people or the Bible itself to build yourself up. Instead, be like the wise men who kept their sole focus on God, on following his lead, and on worshiping the king. We have that opportunity today, tomorrow, every day. That opportunity is there for us to follow God, to worship him, to never let anything else get in the way of doing everything that he wants us to do and of being everything that he wants us to be. The only thing that can get in the way of that is ourselves. And if we find ourselves in the way of that, then may I challenge you to think about the ways in which you're like Herod, and then to resolve to change those things. The wise men had a simple faith. They had an obedient faith. They had a following faith. They had a faith that led them to worship God. Let's be encouraged this morning to take that kind of faith into our lives and to stop thinking about what we want to do and to actually start doing what it is that we know we need to do. Because when we do that, we'll find ourselves walking on the pathway of faith that God has called us to, leading us forward into greater love and greater service for Him. If you're here this morning and need to respond to God in any way, whether it's seeking prayer or maybe it's to be baptized into Jesus' name to receive the forgiveness of sins and the Holy Spirit and to be added to the church, whatever the case may be, we encourage you to let us know what you need by coming forward as we stand and sing.